WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits.
Righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him for you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, amen, amen. That's Jesus, that's our healer, that's our King, amen. Praise God, you ready for healing school? Amen, praise God, amen, 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 praise God, amen. So I was thinking about the healing school today, and I was thinking about the fact that we are born again. So we actually live twice. So this one is called You Only Live Twice from the Bond series. You know, you preach enough years, you got all kind of, you know what I'm saying. We already did, what did we do? Yeah, Die Another Day. Thank you. This is Bishop Bond. That's the one. But anyway, praise God, you know, so. You know, I'm wondering if the Lord really helps me with this, you know, or if he's sitting by and just telling me what I said. But anyway, you only live twice, okay? So we got to make the second one count, right? And so God has made a way for us to make life number two count. We have eternal life in this life. Our first life is for us, by us, because we don't know the Lord. We are all we know. And so with your first life, being a sinner, that first life is full of complications and problems. Sickness is a part of the first life. Your unsaved life, sickness is part of the curse of the broken law. So we have to put up with sickness. We have to go to doctors. We have to limit our ability to believe for a cure and for a miracle. And sometimes sickness is what leads us to call on God. And so anything that happens to you in the first life can be what we call a blessing in disguise. It's not really a blessing, but God can bring good out of it if it brings him to you. And so after you come to God, there is a second life for you. There's a life in God. And this is the one we want to talk about, because that life is the life that God expects us to live. He has provided everything for us to live twice, the second life. In the first life, there is bondage, sin, and death. In the second life, the hallmarks are redemption from the curse of the law and a new life in Christ. So as you live your life in Christ, you don't have to be concerned about making mistakes, but we are. You don't have to be, but we are. Until we come into a peaceful relationship with God and a strong relationship with God, we're a little reluctant. And I think that's the unfortunate thing about Christianity sometimes. Now that we're redeemed, the Bible says we should do things boldly and confidently. That's part of faith. But many times we're reluctant, we hold back. But that's going to stop, because I believe God has something for us internally that's going to give us a new confidence in him. It's going to give us a new vision for what he has for us, and we will go boldly and confidently through life, and knowing that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. See, that's the clause you have to see when you find scriptures like if you sin, you try to go in denial, like you ain't gonna need that. Huh? But, and so what happens sometimes, we'll see words like that that cause some kind of internal reaction in us. And instead of reading it, because the Bible says all scripture is profitable, it's written by God, it's going to do you good, all of it. But you got to read it, you got to believe it, and then you got to act on it. And so that's our get out of jail free card, really. You know, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. An advocate is a lawyer, and a lawyer can get you out of jail free. So we all need one. We need somebody to speak of our true character, to go to bat. That's what a lawyer does. He pleads your case. You know, he'll say, well, Mr. Judge, you're ornery, sir. I know this person. I know they look like a malefactor and a horrible perpetrator. But this boy is actually a good Christian boy. In fact, he's his pastor that came to court to speak on his behalf, you know, or his priest. He's been an altar boy all his life. And it's his first brush with the law. And to be honest with you, he fell into the hands of some desperados, just the wrong company. He fell into the hands of some evil people. And if you let him off this time, you understand? So we have an advocate in Jesus who can say that I paid for. Your lawyer on earth ain't going to pay for nothing. In fact, he's going to go get your mama and tell her to bring that mortgage out, Oh, y'all still owe on it? How much you got, you know, what kind of equity you got in your house? Put that up. You understand what I'm saying? Granny got some gold and she got a gold grill. Go get Granny's gold grill and tell her to put it in the, take it to the pawn shop. But see, your advocate in heaven has on him stripes. Yeah. And see, in the court of heaven, the stripes mean it's paid for. Amen. It's paid for. Now, we don't go around, you know, sinning just to sin. You know, sometimes I think if we could see what the enemy has got stacked up for us, you know, before you get up in the morning, he's already got at least 7 or 8 plots to stop you and hinder you. That's right. It's called warfare. You know, those terms on in the Bible, that's not something that you have a seminar about. Warfare is your everyday life. That's how you live every day. Amen. You know, I see all these people wanting to be apostles all of a sudden. It's, you know, and the definition, you know, of the term apostle means apostolic authority as it pertains to warfare. So there's warfare implied in the office of the apostle. You can't get anything done for God. If you're the first one he sends out, he's not sending you to somebody's church that's already got carpet and already got people and all. Like, it's no church, it's no nothing. And you got to stand there and declare and pray and sweat until something shows up. You understand me? And you're going to have to fight some things to get that accomplished. Huh? You know, we can't even, now we pay rent on this building, but we can't even come in here and have a decent meeting without fighting the devil for the atmosphere. So come on, y'all. This is the way it is. It's not, the Christian life isn't just something where we sit up and expect good things to happen, even in our Amos 9:13 season. You know, there's open doors, like the author said, Tim Hill was saying. He said, people say this phrase, when God closes one door, he opens another. He said, but there's hell in the hallway. And that's scriptural. The Bible says that a great door of opportunity is open to us, but around it are many adversaries. There are adversaries at the door. You just don't go strolling in. You know, when people say, I'm praying for an open door, I said, really? Huh? You really want that? Huh? It's wonderful, the thought of it's wonderful, but getting in it, huh? It's going to take power, determination, faith, anointing, everything that you can muster. So if knowing this, Jesus has made an opportunity for us to stay in the game and not be disqualified because of sin. You sin, you have an advocate with the Father if you're repentant. Now, there are people that like they mess. You know, I ain't going to go to Empire again, but you know what I'm saying. People like mess. And so we need to understand that God has made a way for us to be delivered even from the desire of certain things so that we can walk in holiness, we can walk in communion and fellowship with the Lord at all times, and then begin to take on his essence, take on his character, take on his true nature. And a package of that is absence of disease. He plans no disease for us. It's not in his repertoire for us. It's not in his vocabulary for us. It's not in his promise to us. No disease. And so he's made the provision for us to be obedient, and he expects that we expect him to come through with what he's promised us. In the Christ life, this new life is God's original design and plan for you. So where we're at now is God's original design and plan for you. Now, I know some of us think more of what he's done than others. Some of us, you know, there are days when things are not happening fast enough. You're not getting enough of this and you're not getting enough of that. But right where you are is pretty much where God has ordained for you to be. Now, I know we have vision inside of us, and we have, our spirits are stretching on the inside and desiring to gain and to take on more and to do more in God, but don't get discouraged and don't get upset with yourself because it's not going at the speed that you want it to go. Because it's speeding up now, it's going to go at the speed of favor. And so you're going to find that you can almost barely keep up sometimes with the things that God is doing, but He gives you strength, He gives you endurance, He gives you opportunity. I know when we have these meetings, the average, most of us only sleep about 3 or 4 hours a night. We're running around. It's not because we don't have nothing to do all night. We play cards and, you know. Come to Pastor Bob's room, $2 minimum. You know what I'm saying? Hello. I said that for our friends from Las Vegas. Huh? I know y'all don't even go in them places, do you? But when I come and preach for y'all, I don't want my money, my offering in chips. I want my... Thank you. Amen. I was going to say, because if I get some chips... I might go, and I won't be passed to nobody when y'all see me next, huh? All right. Oh, yeah, sure. Until I get to Vegas. Woo! The nieces and nephews tried to get me and Pastor Shirley to go, and I told them myself, so really, you want me to go back to that place? Please. I said, you know what, I'll cash in something and be a high roller. I said, y'all get my suite ready, huh? And don't call me Reverend. I ain't nobody, but you don't even call me Auntie. You don't have to call me. Just come pick me up when it's time to jet out of here. Anyhow, but anyway, so I need an advocate. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you over there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It takes a will to obey God's plan for you. Amen. You've got to have a will to obey God to live this second life fully. It's a life that is the original life that God has for us, and we said that. The process by which God allows us to live this second life is called redemption. There's a scripture in, I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy, that where God said that He had given Israel the land to possess. And He said that they weren't to go into the land and just take all of it at one time. But He said little by little that land would be claimed and would be redeemed, little by little. And so that means that we have to have patience with ourselves in some things. Sometimes there are long-standing things that we just would like to get over, we would like to get them done, so forth and so on. But God has a purpose to us being able to live this life and receive what He has for us little by little. He doesn't give us everything all in one shot, even though I think there are people that would make you think that. But there's enough evidence to let us know that we are prospering and we are in health even as our souls prosper. And so your soul has to take on the nature of Christ. You have the mind of Christ, but you don't have access to it at all times, and you don't have access in the full measure that it is in the Lord. And so little by little, as you renew your mind in the Word, as you yield to the things that God has us yield to, part of this is endurance, enduring the things that are distasteful in our lives, enduring seasons in our lives that may seem to be prolonged, may seem to go on an extended stay in our lives. All of these things Jesus endured. The Bible says He learned obedience through the things He suffered. He learned obedience. Once He came down here and was packaged in an earth suit, He had to learn how to obey the Father. Think about it. You lived in a place where the streets were paved with gold. Everybody worshipped you. And then all of a sudden you find yourself down here as a human. And so the Bible says when He found Himself in the fashion of a man, He humbled Himself. He said, I know how to make it through this life. He said, I got to connect with the Father. I got to stay humble to the Father. And it's the same thing for us. If we're going to make it through this redeemed life, we got to bow to the Father, stay humble to the Father. And through the things that we suffer, we learn obedience. There are some things that you can't change. There are always going to be things that you can't change. We may want them to change, but maybe that's not God's best for us. Sometimes he wants us to change us to be more like Christ so that we can endure and love, especially if there are people involved in the things. We always want to change people. Huh? We still got a little witchcraft in us. You understand what I'm saying? We still think people are our problem. You know, if he would just do this and just, I used to say that about my husband all the time. I go to the grocery store. I say, he being all tight and stuff. That was his middle name. Aubrey Tight Williams, you know. And so I used to, you know, I got a million jokes, ba-dum-bum, about, you know, when he come home, you know, he looking for a hug, and I say, assume the position. The pat and the frisk when they come in the door. Come on, y'all. Pat and frisk the brother, see what they got. Huh? It was done in love. Ba-dum-bum. But anyway. Anywho. But since he's been gone, I'm very thankful that he didn't let me frisk him out of, because now I have to live off of what he left me. So here I'm, you know, I got it in, but I ain't frisking myself to spend it all immediately. So I appreciate those things. But those are things you have to endure. When you're living here and you have a relationship with other people, you have to learn to love. You have to learn to stretch yourself out into the love of God. And so we learn obedience just like Christ did by the things that we allow, because we have no power to change them. You have no power. And God didn't promise you that people had to change so that you like them better. Because sometimes when we get that kind of power over people, it goes to our heads. You know, we don't like them any better, we like them less. So it's a process of redemption. We have been redeemed from the contrary part of the law, the curse. You don't have to worry about sickness coming upon you for disobedience. You don't have to be concerned about deserving sickness. You do not deserve sickness. Amen. You do not deserve sickness. You know, there's a lot of talk going on now. Now that medical people are doing research, they want to be able to predict from your lifestyle if you're going to get sick. So they say, you know, the first thing they do is say obesity leads to, you know, a myriad of things. The list goes longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. Some of the things that they don't understand, they'll just blame it, amen, on certain factors. You notice they don't say much about sexual misconduct and promiscuity being the factor in a lot of illness. There's a lot of illness that people know is or suspect is a result of abortion that they don't say anything about. There are people who are working in the pro-life movement who do research, and they say abortion is very much linked to breast cancer. Terminating a pregnancy, when all of those changes have happened in a woman's body, part of it is the increased lactation. And so when that's abruptly interrupted, what happens to that process is destroyed. And so they see an incidence of increased blood, breast cancer, and also heart disease in women. And so they'll never tell you the truth anyway. That's my point. They won't tell you the truth. And they don't have your life. They don't understand our life as believers. We live a supernatural life by the power of God. Every day you get up is a miracle. Every day that you breathe breath is a miracle, because the miracle worker has gotten you up that day. The miracle worker is supernaturally guiding your steps. He's leading you into all truth. He's leading you around the landmines that the enemy has put down there for you. What do they call them in Iraq? The IEDs or something like that? What do they call? They're devices that are explosive that they plant in the desert. And the desert's nothing but sand. Once that sand's covered up, you can't tell anything that's under there. And so they'll step on those and they'll explode and they'll maim and they'll kill people. Well, that's what the devil has set for us every day. There's destructive forces that are there for us. You know, I can't tell you how many people, and I know this is happening to a lot of you, probably all of you. You ever leave the house, you couldn't find your keys. You fumbled around and diddled and wasted 20 minutes getting out of the house, and you get down to the corner where you're getting ready to cross, and there's an accident there. Amen. It's two cars banged up. Could have been yours, except the Holy Spirit wrestled you for them keys. You understand what I'm saying? And so these are things that we need to understand. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased. You have divine life in you, and that divine life is precious. God wants to protect that. He's highly invested in us, folks. We are the pearl of great price. That's us. We are highly valued by God. And so when you value an investment, then you have to protect it. You do everything you can to protect it. People in the world do that stuff. My late husband worked for the president of his company, and so they would have to travel together. They called him staff something, and so that meant it's kind of like we would say an armor bearer in our, you know, that went everywhere with them and accompanied them. Anything they needed, they would assist them with it, and so they would do things like put him on a plane, and the vice president never went on the same plane. Why? They were highly invested in these people. And if the plane fell, you know, well, it didn't get two of them. You know, that's what people in the world do. You know, but they, you know, there's high value in these people because they're highly invested in them. They would have planes wait for them, you know, burning fuel, whatever it did, because they were highly invested in these people. Well, God does the same thing for us. He's highly invested in us, highly invested. We're very valuable to him. When I went to Pennsylvania to Pastor Grant's church and ministered there, and we had a wonderful time. It was just, I didn't have that much time because it was a Thursday, I think, and we had Thursday, Friday, had to come out of Pennsylvania on Friday because we had an empowerment meeting. And you all know me, I usually don't do anything, but you walk around the house and stare at the ceiling. Empowerment week, I'm going to make sure everybody gets there. There's a lot to do, but I really felt that God told me to go there, and he told me he would get me back home in time for the meeting. And so we ministered until the very last minute to go. And so the person that took me to the airport got a little turned around because he wasn't familiar with the area, and we lost probably about 10 minutes. Well, when we got to the airport, the gate was closed. And so the steward there at the desk called back to the gate and asked them if they would wait for me, and the lady said, no, we're scheduled to take off, and, you know, we don't have time for that. And so I just stood there, and I told him, I said, well, I've got to get out of town, and that's all I said. And so they started to see if there were other flights going out, not until 10 o'clock. What am I going to do in this little airport for 4 hours, you know? Hit the vending machines, you know, but take my quarters. And so I just stood there, but I told them I had to get out of town. They called back, and the lady at the gate said, there's something wrong with the plane. It can't take off yet because of, it's a service delay, is what they said. Amen. And so the attendant asked her again, well, can I let this lady get on? She wants to get home. She said, okay. Okay. And so when I went back to the gate, they hadn't even put one person on the plane. And so they called my row, and I kimbled right on up there in the front. Got on my seat. Got my row A, row one, seat A, whatever I was in. And so I was on there. Why? Because God highly values me. He highly values you. That's why he gives us his promises. We are highly, highly valued to God. He made a promise to me that if I would go and do what he told me to do, he would get me back in time for my meeting. And I got back home in time for my meeting, and we didn't miss anything. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He didn't want to dump the whole meeting on Pastor Shirley for to do my job for the day. So she looks forward to being able to rest, you know, on those weekends so that she can, you know, listen and not have to preach all the time. So everything's in peace. intact, nothing missing, nothing broken, because we're highly valuable to God. So that's why the curse of the law is broken. God does not want us to labor under the curse of the law. It would make it too difficult for us to move forward. God has so much confidence in what he has done in us. He wants that part of our lives to be free to live. If you're laboring under sickness, you're laboring under the devil's power and demons tormenting you and all that kind of stuff, you can't be of very much use for God. And then what did the atonement do? It did a partial job, because we don't live a satisfactory life if we have these problems to contend with all the time. Going to doctors not only takes your time, it takes your money. You got triple warfare to fight because of what they tell you. You know, I worked in hospitals for years before I was saved, and I didn't like them then. And I definitely don't like them now. I've done some of the most joyful things I've done since I've been saved, I've done in hospitals. Amen? Because God is able to take us into these places now in his authority and in his glory, and we don't have to go in as victims or patients or whatever you want to call it. We can go in confidence, knowing that God has a remedy for people who are crying out to him, who are even in these situations. So God has redeemed us from the curse of the broken law, and that includes sickness.